Let's look over to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 1, another thought here from the Word of God, something to give you something to think on just a little bit. The title tonight is Mary Was God's Favorite, amen. That's a funny message for a Baptist church, amen. Well, it's in the text, amen, so we'll see that there. And there's some things about her life that, quite honestly, we should desire to emulate. And we don't believe Mary is any more of a person than any of us are in the sense that, I mean, she needed to be a born again, She's a sinner just like all, amen. But at the same time, she wasn't a place in a position that God could use her. And I think that's very important for all of us, that we would be desirous of being in that place that God can use us. And it wasn't like God came to her and then said, hey, in a few years, I'm going to call you to this. God doesn't work that way. We need to be prepared for what God would call us to do today, right? And if we're going to be prepared for a call today, that means there needs to be preparations that would take place so that we would be at that place that God could call and we would be available for that use, amen? You say, well, that's difficult because we don't know what we're supposed to be prepared for. That's why we need to be led by the Spirit of God. And we should be growing all the time, always in the Word of God, always growing, that relationship with God growing, amen. So that, you know, it's not just just a couple that God wants to use. He wants to use all of us, amen, that are born again believers in Jesus Christ. Every one of us, amen, God will use if we will take the preparation side seriously, amen. If you're a new believer, you need to be growing. You need to be discipled. You need to let someone take the Word of God. We have plenty of discipleship tools. And you need to begin to grow in the knowledge and grace of Jesus Christ. You need to learn, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. And I praise the Lord for that. I praise the Lord that no matter who you are, what your background was, what you've been through, Paul said he was chiefest of sinners. Amen. The Word of God says that. But if you're close to that, or maybe you were raised in a more of a sheltered environment, Christian environment, and you wouldn't consider yourself a severe sinner such as that. It's all the same in a sense. One sin is all it takes to send you to hell. Amen. And but just that God can use you. God can use you and I for His glory. Amen. No matter what your shortcomings are, no matter where you struggle, it doesn't matter. God takes those that you would think He could have never used and or could be used. Amen. And they were used mightily. The blind, the deaf, the maimed, the lame, all. Amen. The mentally challenged. By the way, all of us are at some point, amen, mentally challenged. I mean, all of us, God can use you, amen, and that is a blessing. So here in Luke chapter number 1, just a couple verses here. Verse 46 says, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me. I love that. He that is mighty hath done to me great things. Amen. I love that. You could say, how'd you come out the way you are right now? Hopefully it's because God did this to me. Amen. And I would say, if you don't like me as a preacher, I'm sorry. God did this to me. Amen. And I've just said, hey, God, if you'll use me, I'll be used. And he began to work in my life. I praise the Lord for that, amen. And it says in our text here, it says that he hath done to me great things, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. Tremendous text of scripture here. It says, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. Amen. Mary made this utterance while pregnant with Jesus, amen, and visiting Elizabeth, her cousin, who at that time was 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist, amen. Look back at our text here in verse number 41 of Luke 1. So upon Mary entering Elizabeth's house, John leaped in her womb, amen. Like any good Baptist, amen, you get excited about the things of God, Jesus shows up, you just want to leap, amen. And John truly did there in the womb. Verse number 41 of Luke 1, it says, and it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. You might say, now, why was that last part added? This is where this text gets very, very interesting. You see, because really, Mary had just got the news. And we're going to look at that a little bit and see what was taking place that would bring that about. But God used Elizabeth there to speak to Mary in such a way that she really came looking for something and received it there as she came to Elizabeth's house. But again, Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. My soul, meaning from the depths of who she was. And I'll be honest with you, as we get into Christianity and as you grow as a Christian, you need to really work to make sure that your Christianity is not just surface. Amen? That it's not just what you do. It's not just, an identifying thing on the surface, but that it's deep down, deep rooted in the depths of your soul. Amen. That your relationship with God is not just, like I said, what you do and all that. I pray, I read and all that, but there's no depth there to your relationship. There's no desire to spend time with God. There's no desire to know Him. I mean, Paul said that he desired to know God even in the fellowship of His sufferings. Amen. And then beyond that, even being made conformable unto His death, that desire. Remember, with what salvation brings unto us, it has opened us up to a relationship with God. God is alive. God's Word is alive. The Holy Spirit of God moves within us. Amen. And so it's truly a relationship that we have when we've been born again. Amen. And just like you would want a relationship on earth to grow and become more and more close, more and more intimate, your relationship with God should be even more so, amen, a desire to know Him, that I might know Him, that I might know what He's thinking, amen. By the way, one of the huge reasons for studying your Old Testament is so you can take the New Testament doctrine and see how it's worked out in Old Testament, like in a sense, stories. And I don't say story as in fictitious, but story as in happenings in the Old Testament. And you can see how God related with people in the Old Testament. And that's instructive. It's an example unto us. It shows us something. And so we study the doctrine of the New Testament. And there's happenings there and all that too, not to discount that. But the Old Testament absolutely takes all of those teachings. Because remember, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we can really begin to know God through some of these experiences that He's shared with us in the Old Testament. But you should desire that. Don't let the thickness of your Bible detour you. Amen. You get in that thing and you study that thing and you cross-reference and you spend that time and engage in study. It's absolutely amazing. Why? Because you should want to know God and know Him better and know how He thinks and know why He did this and know why He did that. Look into these things and study these things. Absolutely amazing. From the depths of your soul, there should be a desire to know God in this way. And Mary here said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. Magnify means to make great. And I wonder if the reason why maybe we don't spend a lot of time magnifying God is because we don't know Him all that well. Amen. Because the more we get to know Him and the more He shows up in our lives and the more, even like Marilyn was talking about, even in the sense of needing help finding something, amen, when little things like that just happen repeatedly and all that, God wants to be involved in your life, even in the most minute of details, amen. Let Him be involved more and more the rest of this year on into the next, amen. Here we find Mary saying, it's my soul, from the depths of my soul, I seek to magnify God and to make much of God, amen. And that is a blessing. Mary had already been visited by Gabriel the angel prior to this text that we read here in Luke chapter number 1. And the angel was sent to her from God. Let's look back at that in Luke chapter 1 and in verse number 28. Now, Mary lived in a city of Galilee named Nazareth, and she was espoused to Joseph, but they were not married yet. And we've already talked about that. You know those details, amen. But notice what Gabriel says to her in Luke chapter number 1 And in verse number 28, the angel came in under her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." That is quite the salutation, amen. Thou art highly favored. That's a blessing. Favored by who? Favored by God, verse 29. Again, she would have been one of God's favorites, amen. And I hope that you're one of God's favorites. You say, "I didn't think you liked to play favorites." I don't, but what favored means is that you are a recipient of the favor or grace of God, amen. And so that's what it means to be favored. If you're favored, it means God's grace is given unto you. That's what God does. He gives favor to us by means of grace. Amen. And so what this text means is that God has been graceful to her, been giving her grace. She's highly favored, and there's a reason for that. And it says in verse number 29, it says, "And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be." She's like, "What kind of salutation is that?" I mean, he shows up and says, "You are highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." I mean, that's not typically a salutation there, potentially, amen, from an angel, especially. In a sense, it's like building her up. And we struggle with that at times, right? Where we get a compliment. We struggle with those compliments. We're like, "No, we're nobody. We're nothing." And exactly, that's why she was favored, amen, because she had a low view of self, a high view of God, and yet at the same time, God had a high view of her, amen. And I praise the Lord for that. I pray that God has a high view of you because of how you have yielded to him and how you've allowed him to work in your life. Now, don't get a big head over it, amen. We shouldn't think, "Oh, wow, look how I'm wonderfully blessed by God." And we are, no doubt, amen. But the whole thought here is that the salutation rang out in her heart and mind, and it kind of struck her a little bit funny, and it troubled her. In verse 30 says, "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." Interesting note again, right there we are again with the Davidic covenant and how ultimately Christ would be king through this covenant. She knew what that meant. She knew what all these things meant, being a Jewish girl, amen. And it says in verse 33, "And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." This would have been very heavy for her to hear. This would have been very daunting for her to hear. And even to think, "Me?" I mean, can you imagine God coming to you with such a task to carry out for him? And we would think, we struggle, us guys, with the call to preach. Me? Really? Me preach the Word of God? Me carry forth the truths of the Word of God? And just on all of us, with whatever that call might be, oftentimes we'll struggle with that. You know, whatever that is that God has called you to, right? You want me to do that, right? Imagine in this case, her being called to carry Jesus, the Son of God, amen, and birth him into the world. It says in verse number 34, "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" How is this possible? And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold," this is interesting, "thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." Now, as soon as she received this news, what she's going to do is she's going to hightail it to Elizabeth's house. But Elizabeth doesn't live right down the road. She lives in the hills of Judea. And I've done some looking up to see how far that would have been. That would have been roughly a 90-mile trek. That's a long way. But she wanted to make this trip because I'm thinking, she's thinking, well, by the way, John the Baptist was 6 months ahead of Jesus' birth. Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant. How much pregnant is Mary? Just barely, if any. Okay. Does a woman know that she's pregnant at that stage? No, there's no real signs at that point. And so she's hearing all this, and I believe what she's doing is she's saying, well, my cousin's been barren, and she's up in years and kind of past that time frame. And so you might say, well, wouldn't she have heard? I mean, it's 6 months has gone by. Well, look at Luke 1:24. Luke 1:24 says, after those days, his wife conceived. And what did she do with herself? Hid herself for how long? 5 months. Okay. So for the first 5 months of her pregnancy, she didn't want to tell anybody. She's hid herself. She's hiding out. So this isn't news that would have traveled. And so maybe Mary's thinking, if my barren cousin at her age is now pregnant, surely we would have heard. News travels. Amen. And news traveled before we had phones, amen, and computers and everything else. News travels fast, amen. That saying's been around a long time. And so in one sense, she's probably thinking, hey, if that's true, I would have done heard about it from now. I'm going to go down there because if that's true, then I know everything else that the angel has said to me is also true. And so she traveled that distance, amen. And then, of course, shows up at Elizabeth's house. And that's where we saw in our text that we began to read to start the message in Luke 1:46. Now, with this backdrop, look at this again. In Luke 1:46, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. Amen. And this is going to begin where we are at in coming into Elizabeth's house. This God-fearing woman who is well-favored from the Lord and the mercy of God that would be upon her based on this. Amen. And so let's just jump and look again at verse number 41. And I know we just read verse 46. A little out of order there, but let's look back at 41 because this is where she shows up at Elizabeth's house. And so she hears the salutation of Mary. The babe leaps in her womb, and Elizabeth, being filled there with the Holy Spirit, said this, verse 42, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of the womb, thy womb, and from whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Now keep in mind, she's traveled, she heard the news, she's traveled, she's come, and this is what she comes to. This will be the meeting that she has with John the Baptist's mommy, with her cousin Elizabeth. And blessed is she that, what's that word? Believed. You believed. You believed enough to come check it out for yourself. You believed what the angel said, and this will be a confirmation of that to her. For there, Elizabeth says to her, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And so this is the meeting that she gets. This is the greeting that she gets. All of this stuff has happened. We are on the fast track now, and Mary now is absolutely excited. And it was from that she said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. Amen. Where all of this has come to fruition, all of this now has been vetted, all of this is just no doubt just a dream in a sense to her in how this is all unfolding. Well, look at verse number 48. She says, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden, meaning that this gal, this girl Mary, was not from means. She, I think of like a Gideon, who says, why me? I'm from the tribe of Benjamin. We're nobody. We're not from a position of of grandeur in reference to the nation. We're nobody. And God said, no, you're somebody. You're the one that I'm going to use. He said, you're a mighty man of valor. Amen. And so how God sees us oftentimes is different how we see ourselves and how we see others. And we often will judge people based on economic status or family structure and all these different things, or where they were born, where they're from. And yet we know that God looks at things differently. And he saw something about Mary that he said, I can use this one, even though she had a low estate concerning her station there in life. And then the thought, behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. As she began to consider what has been conceived in me truly is the Son of God, the one who would fulfill the Davidic covenant, the one who would fulfill the Abrahamic covenant, the one who will reign on earth as king forever and ever. This is the one that Mary began to see. If this is all true, then somehow, some way, God has just done something that I am going to be known for. And that thought just began to really set in and hit. And verse 49 says, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things. And I think this is where it's just a good spot for us just to consider something tonight. That if you will position yourself properly in life. By the way, for all you young men and young ladies, especially young men that are out there maybe trying to secure a job that would, be sufficient to raise a family on, all that. What's your competition like out there amongst all the other young men? A lot of dim light bulbs out there, amen, amongst the work crew. Is that right? I'm not speaking ill of anybody. I'm just saying the work ethic in our day has plummeted. And so for you to shine bright in your workplace, it's not hard. If you'll come in, if you'll just show up on time. You've done past most. If you'll just show up on time and actually be ready to work when you show up. I mean ready, right? And when you get there, you're not asking for a handout. You're actually there to help that company be successful, right? You're there to work. If you'll show up with a good attitude, on time, ready to work, man, you're really creeping up to the top of that list, amen, of the employees, right? That's how it is. And so, listen, can I say the same is true today of Christianity? Amen? The same is true today of Christianity, that amongst all Christendom, the level of seriousness, the level of desire to serve God and know his word literally, the number of Christians that aren't mocking God and questioning his word and blaming God and upset with God because they rubbed his belly and he's not answered their three wishes lately. The level of Christians out there that are serious about just knowing him, loving him, being a part of his work, serving, there's not that many. And so if you will just take Christianity, your salvation, seriously, then you're going to be on the short list of, hey, when God has something that needs done, he's going to call on you for it. Amen. Now, I don't know how many there were in Mary's town that had everything right as far as genealogy and everything right that had to fall into place, amen. But God looked down and chose her because she was ready for the task at hand. And if you're going to be chosen by God for some of the choice assignments that are going to be handed out in these last days, you're going to have to take things seriously and be ready. And not just be one who just expects God to pick you just because you're you. No, that ain't going to be enough. It's not just that you're you. It's that you are a God-fearing you. You are one who sees God as holy and high and lifted up and worthy, and that you've taken an interest in knowing him and knowing his word and just wanting. You don't have it in mind that, hey, in doing this, I'm going to be picked. But know this, in getting serious about Christianity, you will become on that short list that God will actually call upon, that he would use you. To be used. Everybody says, man, it sure would have been great to be the Apostle Paul. I don't know about that. I mean, he went through some stuff, amen. But can I say it would have been great to have been the Apostle Paul? Now, looking at it and seeing all he went through, but God's grace was sufficient. God used him mightily. It would have been great to have been a John the Baptist. Amen? You say, yeah, but he got his head chopped off. I know, but God's grace was sufficient. Think of what he was handpicked to do. Amen. Look, this life is here just for a short time. It's but a vapor, appears for a little time, then vanisheth away. If we can be used in God's economy for some great thing, well, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That's going to be, that is something we should desire, amen, in this life, to be that one who would be picked. Notice it says this in verse 49, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And then verse 50, and his mercy is on them that fear him. How long? That's right. Every generation has those that God can use. Every generation. Her generation, every generation in between, and our generation. And you can't look and say, well, you know, that person's family, they're going to get all the choice assignments. Probably not. Because they think that they deserve them. And that's not how God hands them out. God hands them out to those that he favors. And we gain favor first with humility. He resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. He hands out choice assignments to people like Mary, to people like a Gideon who didn't think he was really anything, but in God's sight he was, because he had all the attributes that God could use. Amen. And on and on and on, you can pick out different ones. Like someone had asked the other night who one of my favorite Bible characters is. It's Tychicus. Amen. I was like, what? Yeah, he only shows up like five times in Scripture, New Testament. And he was a helper of Paul. And every time he's named, he's never named like he's the chief guy, but he's always there. He's a helper. He's a co-laborer. And you could tell he's faithful. Amen. And to me, that's the one I want to be like. I just want to be like a Tychicus. Amen. One that really nobody knows of, but he's mentioned in Scripture repeatedly. And no doubt a helper, and did great things, but he didn't need to have his, I don't know what he needed, but he didn't have his name out there, but he just wanted to be used. He was just a servant, amen? And I don't know who it is that you look at the Bible and say, I like that one right there. But the reality is that you could be in our day just like that. You could be used. And we need to stop looking back and saying, I wish I was born in a different generation. You weren't. You can wish all you want. It ain't going to change anything. Learn to appreciate the day that you were born, the day that you have lived, this day, the day. Learn to appreciate the opportunities that exist today. We may be in the generation that gets to go out in the rapture. Hallelujah. Amen. But until that happens, let us be those that are usable. Usable vessels of honor. What's that next word? Meet for the master's use. That means you're usable, fit for the master's use. And we live in this entitlement, you know, mentality today, society today, that everybody thinks they're worthy of something. The reality is, we ain't worthy of anything. Amen. And the quicker we all learn that, the quicker we'll be on that short list to be used for the cause of Christ. Amen. Mary was a God-fearing woman. She was a humble woman, we see here. She was of low estate, not of any means. Amen. And she said here that his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. Amen. And let me give you one last thought, and then we'll close out this evening. Amen. Look over at 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. This is what I love about Christianity. First Corinthians 9, verse number 24, we find just Paul giving us a picture here about running a race. And Paul's going to say, like, I am running this race to win. But all the while, he's saying, you should run as hard as you can. I think about the rallies, amen, and how we don't seek to win by trying to trip up others, you know, or gain an advantage. No, I hope this is still the case in all of y'all that are participating in rallies. We are going to do our best as unto the Lord. And we're going to encourage everybody else to do their best too. And we're not going to dumb it down so they can catch up. Why? Because that is not what we've learned from God. And as soon as we start doing that, then we're no longer meet for the master's use. Right? Because they that run a race run all. That's what we do. We run all. And we're not, listen, if you're trying to slow, we don't believe in that mentality. We got a class full of students. There's 30 students. And we're going to have to teach to the dumbest in the class. We're going to tell everybody else, slow down. We got to bring this one along. That's not how we do it. Why? We want everybody that's down here to be encouraged to be at the top of the class. That's how we do it. We're not trying to slow down so we can all be the same. No, we are all running as hard as we can and all the while encouraging everybody else, hey, run with us, run, come on, let's go, let's do this thing together. That's Christianity. That's what it means to be an encourager of the brethren, amen. We are absolutely just fanning the flames and saying, I am going to run hard and I want you to run harder, amen. Catch me and pass me if you can. And if you do, you're going to encourage me to run harder to catch you and pass you if I can. And all the time, we're not upset about it. We're happy about it. Amen. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run. Paul is saying this to us all. So run that ye may obtain. He wants you to obtain. He wants all the saints through the ages. You run so that you can obtain the crown. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. What's that mean? You're going to have to get serious about this thing. You're not going to win a race haphazardly. You're not going to win a race casually. You're not going to win a race just by taking time off. Amen. You're not going to win a race by not preparing to win. Amen. They, it says there in verse number 25, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, they do it, meaning those that would run a physical race, to obtain a corruptible crown. But we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Don't you want to be that guy or gal that God says, looks around heaven. By the way, they do have discussions in heaven, we see by scripture. And they say, you know what, we need somebody for this. And they say, I know who I'm going to call. Go pick so-and-so, because I know they're ready right now. Don't you want to be that one? Like if you're on a team and there's a final play of the game and everything's online, and they say, I know the one that we're going to throw this ball to. I know the one that we're going to put up here. Because they don't crack under pressure. They're not the ones that fall down when the game is on the line. And the same is true of Christianity. I want to be that one that God says, that's the one I can count on right there. But it doesn't just happen. It happens as we are temperate, as we've been tempered, as we've been proved and go through some hard times, amen, and come out with flying colors. He says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. I know what I'm trying to win here. So fight I not as one that beateth the air. I'm not just beating the air. I'm actually trying to accomplish something. By the way, I hope the purpose of your life is more than making it another day, amen. Getting your rent paid, getting some food in your belly, and having some heat. I hope your purpose of your life is a whole lot deeper than that, amen. Amen. Verse 27, but I keep under my body. Why did he say that? Because that is our biggest enemy. We don't know how to tell our bodies no. We don't know how to even tell our bodies half the time how to get out of bed, amen. Or what to eat or not to eat. Amen. You at least have to be able to do that. Amen. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul is saying this. I'm running as hard as I can for the Lord. And he says, I want you to do the same. And I don't feel threatened by you running hard. And if you win, you win. If I win, I win. It doesn't really matter. But I know this. I'm going to run to win. And I want you to do the same thing. Amen. And I really think that Mary should be that type of motivation to us. Amongst all that were available potentially for that task on earth, that would have been quite an honor. As a woman to bear in your womb Jesus Christ. Having never lain with man and becoming pregnant by the Holy Ghost. What an honor. What an honor that would have been. And Mary was picked because she was at that moment ready for the task. I think that should encourage us. I don't know what assignments lie ahead as potential for you and I. But I know this, the only way you and I are going to get picked for those highly favored assignments will be if we are ready for those top tier assignments. And I would encourage you, strive for that this year. Strive for that to be all that God would have you to be so that you can be used as a vessel of honor and meet for his use this year. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for this evening, God, and the opportunity to look at Mary in this way and just consider the amazing, amazing task that she was picked for on earth. She was a favorite at that time for this position because she was highly favored, meaning your grace was all over her as a God-fearing woman and as a woman who was humbled, Lord, receiving the grace of God. And from a low estate, she didn't think much of herself, but oh God, how you thought much of her. And God, you gave her a position that we're still talking about to this day. What a tremendous task that you gave to her to carry our blessed Savior in her womb and birth him into this world. Thank you, God, for people like this and people like Paul to encourage us to run the race with patience, that race that's set before us, to strive for the masteries, to be temperate in all things, and to learn how to keep under our bodies and bring them into subjection. God, help us, I pray, to learn a few things tonight from the life of Mary so that we might be ready in this coming year for what you might have for each of us to do for you in this day that we live. Thank you, God, for the good examples you've given us through the Word of God. Thank you for the good examples you've given to us in this life. Thank you for the good examples we even have in our own church of those that are just running hard, trying, God, just to be all that you would want them to be, to know you better every day, not to whine and complain about circumstances, God, but just to strive for the masteries and be willing to do whatever you'd have to be done. Thank you, God, for this night. Bless and encourage. Help us tonight, I pray, in Jesus' name.